Chapter 2. Meet the Band.
Sir! Sir! Stay with me, sir! Adam!
Lute cried out on the battlefield. This was the worst day of his life in millennia. Every part of his body ached from the beating Lucifer, of all goddamn people, gave him. He could feel several fractures in his bones, and he was pretty sure that he was bleeding internally. Laying on the crimson ground, scorching from the impact of his collision, every breath was agonizing, made worse by the sharp pain in his chest and the open wound on his heart given to him by that blonde bimbo. He was counting down to his final breath, and yet he felt so, so happy. He wasn't going to die alone. By the light of the heavens, he was not alone. Kneeling beside him was his beautiful, precious lute. The one that always stood by him while his supposed soulmates did not. He had been so foolish. If only he could have seen that sooner. If only he had appreciated her more. But, oh well, he was dying anyway. Pushing through the pain, Adam gave his crying lieutenant one last smile. A genuine one. Something he hadn't done in a while before death finally came for him, and he drew his final breath as the light faded. Adam drifted around in the ether before light grew brighter and brighter. The sound of a holy choir rang in his ears, playing a mysterious, uncertain tune until the light abruptly turned red and roaring flames filled the void. Adam woke up in the middle of an alleyway.
Wait! I'm not injured. The pain is all gone.
Adam pondered to himself while tapping every part of his chest and back. While nothing was broken, something felt wrong, very wrong, with his body. He stood up and surveyed his surroundings. What hit him first was that everything smelled like shit. Stumbling around, he could feel discarded needles and pipes around his feet, and were those used condoms? Feeling a moist, rubbery sensation around his boots, Adam quickly recoiled and staggered back in disgust. Hell. He was still in hell. But why? Did his girls leave him behind? No, of course not. They were coming for him any second now. Surely Lute would. Adam began to stumble as his legs started shaking from doubt. Yet before he could continue his thoughts, he began to hear shuffles in the distance. The adrenaline coursed through his veins as he immediately assumed battle stance. The hair on his neck stood up as he anticipated enemies around him.
Well, look who's no longer so big and mighty.
Adam turned his head to see a group of demon filth, most likely addicts of some kind, gawking at him.
What are you freaks looking at?
Adam scowled at a fish freak looking in his direction.
Would you look at that? He still thinks he's hot shit.
His equally ugly friend added. Soon more of those disgusting hell scum entered the scene. Like the filthy animals they were, they immediately pounced on Adam. Some tryhard with a lion's mane lunged towards him, attempting to dig his claws onto Adam, but he responded by simply punching him in the face, sending the insolent fiend towards the wall, only for a fly-headed uggo to grab his leg. The lagoon freak from earlier charged towards them with a nailed bat. A fucking bat, seriously? Almost offended by this, he smashed his gilled face on the fly's slimy proboscis, resulting in a squelching noise as blood, slime, and acid oozed together. More of these insolent losers approached the scene from the distance, attracted to the carnage like flies drawn to dung.
Do any of you fuckers know who I am? I'm Adam, the first fucking man!
As Adam defiantly yelled at the mob, he tried to summon a blast of holy light, only to come up short.
What gives?
Adam smacked his hand, seeing if anything would happen. Nothing did, so he tried shaking it until the damn thing worked. Instead of a beam of golden angelic light, at Adam's third attempt, an alien crackle of energy came out, both unruly and unfamiliar to him, twisting in every direction. It managed to strike some of the approaching infernal filth and destroyed the surrounding buildings, but the survivor simply climbed over the debris and came cackling forward.
Oh, you're gonna regret ever challenging me in your entire shit lives!
Since his angelic light wasn't cooperating with him, he called on his ever-reliable guitar axe. To his delight, judgment fell onto Adam's hands. But it looked different. Felt different. Instead of the usual gold, white, and black, it was red on smoky dark gray. And instead of rounded axe blades, the blades were straight and angular with fiery, magma-like veins flowing across the entire weapon. Adam pushed whatever reservations he had aside. Now was not the time to be picky. With a running start and a slash of his axe, entrails were flying in the air, red pouring from the sky as torsos were bisected, heads were thrown, and arms were cut off. Adam took a breather, basking in his victory.
Fuck yeah! That's why you don't mess with Adam!
He boasted, kicking a horned head on the ground. But before Adam could celebrate further, he spotted yet another demon in the window. This one might be the ugliest one he's met yet. He was mostly humanoid with ghastly pale purple skin. His eyes were ghoulish yellow with glowing white irises, like some bog creature. He was a feathered freak, dark feathers covering his neck and upper chest, acting like a pseudo-collar. With large Strigidae wings, feathers as black as the ones on his chest. Red horns stretched towards the length of his head and curled upwards at the end. The carnival freak show wore a mockery of Adam's cassock, covered in ash and soot. The audacity of this motherfucker!
No! No! No!
Adam clutched his hair as panic began to set in.
This can't be happening!
He began to feel the horns among his hair, immediately recoiling in visceral disgust. He was the freak. He'd been looking at his own reflection the entire time. Adam collapsed to his knees, the weight of this revelation being too much to bear. Tears trickled down from his impure, unworthy eyes.
Sarah, please, I'm sorry. You can't leave me here!
The putrid sinner weakly cried out to deaf ears. No one was coming for him. Adam looked to the sky and screamed in pure agony at the pearly gates that he would never enter again. Adam's eyes snapped open in a cold sweat as he took in his surroundings. He was in a rustic, albeit slightly messy apartment where the smell of brimstone didn't hit as hard. Next to him in bed was Laby, in a state of undress that honestly wasn't too dissimilar to what she usually pranced around in. Literally damned slut. Still, it was nice having a familiar face around in these difficult times. She was no loot, but she will have to do. He quietly crept off the bed, careful not to wake up his former major, and made his way to her bathroom. The night and ensuing after-party had been rough on him. While he enjoyed the debauchery in the moment, it quickly spiraled out of control in a display of degeneracy that even he was fazed by. Lebienne told him that
it was something you just have to get used to. Things are different down here.
Which wasn't exactly comforting.
Fuck this place. I make the rules, damn it. Ha ha ha, like hell you do. Not anymore.
A smug, self-assured voice called from the mirror. What greeted him in his reflection was not the sickly, fiendish visage Adam was stuck with, but a towering figure wearing pristine white robes. His cassock was beautifully decorated with bluish-purple patterns with bits of gold embroidered on. He wore an unblemished black mask with dancing yellow lights in imitation of a face with large horns that ended in gold tips. Piercing through him with condescending eyes and a shit-eating grin was a specter from the past, and a very unwelcome one.
Oh, shut up!
Adam grit his teeth, trying and failing to maintain an air of superiority, losing to his own reflection, his nervous eyes betraying him.
I mean, have you looked in the fucking mirror lately? Oh, wait, you are!
The apparition leaned in closer, casting a shadow over Adam as his neon face let out the most obnoxious laughter, letting him know how little he thought of him.
You filthy, disgusting freak! You were onto something when you made Extermination Day every day. But now, look at you!
The figure was straining to contain his snickering, causing convulsions in his mask.
That got lame, and you fucking know it, you prick.
Adam defiantly stood his ground, only for the specter to immediately put him down.
Right, right. That's why you're playing for the approval of sinners. Fucking sinners!
He could no longer hold it in and erupted into a series of guffaws.
Dude, you were the one that got lame, and I'm proof. You're a loser now, and you know it. I'll fucking shut you up.
Adam was inches away from smashing the mirror before the commotion woke his roommate and bedfellow up.
Who are you talking to, boss man?
Laby groaned groggily, rubbing her eye as she got off the bed and slowly walked towards the source of the racket. Adam had to quickly hide the fact that he almost trashed her bathroom for the fifth time this month.
No one, babe. No one at all.
Adam said with a nervous chuckle. The former exterminator didn't say anything at first. She pursed her lips and gave her ex-commander a skeptical but understanding eyebrow raise.
At first, it was difficult for me to adjust as well.
Lady Anne stepped closer to Adam, careful in her tone.
I had to deal with the madness every day like you are, but once I accepted my fate, the visions and voices became easier to manage.
Laby moved a hand onto Adam's back, her eyes full of sympathy and understanding. He felt his troubles alleviated a bit, but only a bit.
I'm so tired of this hellhole and shit heap. How the fuck did we even end up here? I just want to go home,
was Adam's strained and exhausted reply.
Adam, this is home now.
Laby wrapped her arms around him as she pressed her face against his lower torso. With an absolutely drained and defeated look on his face, Adam returned the favor by placing his own arms around her back.
Thanks for that, Laby. You're a top-class bitch. You know that, right?
Adam said in a gravelly voice, earning him a warm smile from the aforementioned woman.
Glad to help, sir,
was her grateful reply. It was then when she saw her boss turn bandmate's eyes suddenly light up like he was thinking of something. His mouth suddenly formed into an excited grin, leaving Laby wondering what got him in such high spirits after all that.
Let's call Johnny and Gigi up. We can get the band together for practice. It'll be great.
Adam practically yelled like an overexcited child. Laby was caught off guard at first, but was unopposed to the idea.
Okay, boss man. Sounds good.
Laby replied in agreement.
Sweet. I'll get them over to the hideout right now.
Adam gave her some finger guns before rummaging through their bedroom for his phone. Once he found it, he immediately gave one of his new friends a ring.
Johnny, how you doing?
Adam said in a relaxed but cheerful tone, dragging out his vowels.
Adam? I didn't think you'd call so soon. I'm fine myself, but a certain someone went too hard on the vices last night.
It was then that Adam could pick up yelling in the background.
That booze was weaker than my piss!
Only for Johnny to reassert himself.
Oh, hush, I'm speaking on the phone.
Pardon the interruption, did something happen?
Oh, right, it's nothing really. I was just wondering if you and Gigi were up for practice today. You know, to rock out and shit.
Adam replied. There was a pause before the rugged man of the book made his response.
I understand. We'll be there in the usual spot as soon as I get things under control.
Oh, no, you don't, mister!
There was a commotion before the phone hung up. With his former major right beside him, Adam traversed the long-abandoned subterranean tunnels of Pentagram City. They navigated through the labyrinth of man-made passages that sprawled underneath the Pride Ring. From what he's been told, these were the remnants of one of Lucifer's failed projects, some kind of subway system. Apparently, he lost interest in it, or something, and just left it in this state to rot. While faded, Adam noticed the overly bright and garish circus decor on the walls that told him that this was that clown of an angel's handiwork. The apple and serpent motifs that became Lucifer's signature, among the over-elaborate patterns, confirmed it for him. Adam gave an unimpressed look while he and Leiby continued walking. Like everything Lucifer touched, it all fell to ruin. Nowadays, the walls are covered in graffiti depicting all sorts of profanity, with the outer tunnels patrolled by roving gangs of violent sinners. Those upstarts learned not to mess with him after the first few lessons he gave them, and got out of his way to let him through when he passed. With Leiby leisurely trailing behind him, Adam made his way deeper into the tunnels, a place he knew was one of the Exorcist's blind spots. The usual spot was a hidden bunker reinforced with layers of dark steel. According to Gigi, he found this place years back and turned it into both a venue for his own shows and a clubhouse for his fans. Until one day, the wild musician lost any and all interest in it and found it aggravating and told everyone to leave. And by told everyone to leave, what he meant was that he started yelling, beat up every fan left and right of him, and destroyed the entire complex and everyone in it in a blaze of glory. Apparently, that wasn't the first time Gigi found out that you couldn't die in hell unless you're struck by angelic steel, the revelation inspiring him to pursue more extreme and disgusting displays of self-mutilation until he got tired of that too. He found out that it was extremely difficult to shock or offend anyone when every depravity has been tried out and even normalized because, well, you are in hell after all. Which is probably why the untamable degenerate first started tagging along with Adam, having finally found a way to piss off the average demon, preaching virtue and redemption as the ultimate form of rebellion among sinners, which didn't go too well the first few times they performed, much to Gigi's delight. Oh, those early days when he had to annihilate droves of idiots that rejected his message and tried to fight him. One thing he could agree with Gigi on was that this part of the performance was great fun. He would bash them with his guitar while the debauched drummer tore through them like a wild hyena. Nowadays, he left it to the crowd to do it instead. Adam used the key given to all members of Dawnbringer and opened the gate to the bunker and stepped in. Somehow, Johnny was already there, much earlier than they anticipated. The rugged country boy was clad in overalls instead of the leather cowboy outfit he wore on stage. "Well, morning to you, Adam. What took you so long?" Johnny playfully ribbed, performing an exaggerated tip of his hat. Ever the straight-laced and God-fearing member of the group, he was already tuning his bass guitar in preparation for practice.
"Oh, shut up! Not everyone gets up when the birds do, fucking hick!"
Adam bantered back. He could already feel a migraine set in when he spotted who else made it early. Slouching on the same couch wearing only a jockstrap, leather collar, and a leather jacket was the band's drummer, Gigi. He somehow looked both inebriated and ready to strike at any moment, which was very typical of him. The guy was hunched over like a wild raccoon and babbling a bunch of nonsense, but his eyes were as intense as ever, signifying that he wasn't totally out of it.
"What's up with him?"
Adam asked in both concern and disgust. The bull-skulled bassist was quick to answer his question, briefly setting down his instrument to do so.
"I was just telling you on the phone, but not only did he go through several bottles of alcohol, he took a whole bunch of God knows what at the party, and he did it again this morning,"
Johnny explained in exasperation, only to immediately get flack.
"Aw, fuck you, that was nothing, I can handle myself!"
Gigi screeched like a buzzard, being sure to jerk around back and forth and bash his arm on the sofa to voice his displeasure at the implication.
"Oh? Is that why I had to drag you all the way here? If only you eased up on the debauchery every once in a while, you wild coyote,
Johnny said in snarky annoyance. Of course, the coyote in question wasn't going to take that. This time, Gigi stood up from his seat, huffing and heaving in anger, his eyes displaying the gaze of a rabies-infected hound.
You boring, Bible-thumping motherfucker. You're just mad you can't do what I do, because I'm the man. I'm the Messiah. I'm the king!
Gigi yelled out in hysterics. Yep, the migraine finally came in.
All right, first of all, I'm the man. And can we get the show on the road already, you whiny bitches?
Adam corrected in annoyance, in which case Gigi sat back down, all anger dissipating from him.
Only for you, Adam. I'll set up the drums,
Gigi said in a clinical, almost emotionless tone. He dug into his jacket pockets and pulled out a pair of drumsticks.
Sweet! Is everyone else ready?
Adam said in satisfaction, summoning Judgment II into his arms for his own preparation. Glancing over the room, Lady pulled her own guitar out of the case she was carrying all day, and Johnny put his bass over his knee while Gigi sat himself in front of his drum set. Johnny started first, providing the bass line for the song. Next was Gigi, who gave rhythm to the music with his drums. It was Adam's turn, and he played a melody on his guitar. With Labian backing him up, he began to sing. Music filled the entire complex and echoed out into the tunnels as the band rehearsed one of their upcoming songs. It was a somber and frustrated lament on fate and life in damnation, rather routine for their lineup. But today was different. Fueled by passion and emotion, Adam gave the rehearsal his all, as if he was on stage. His frustrations and emotional turmoil emphasizing the song, it was as if a holy choir backed him up as he sang, his bandmates quickly matching his energy, elevating the piece. Adam may no longer be an angel, but he still had his angelic voice, even in hell. As usual, Adam closed the piece on an impassioned guitar solo that could have been a song itself, reveling in the energy that coursed through him as he performed the last strum, waking after losing himself in the music. The rest of the band glanced at their frontman, proud, happy that he was in high spirits again. Johnny and Laby gave him warm smiles while Gigi smugly gawked at him instead, but you could tell he was happy for him too.
Man, that was fucking awesome! Did you see that?
Adam excitedly exclaimed to his bandmates, making Laby and Johnny chuckle.
Yes, boss man, we saw that,
Labian replied in amusement as the boss man in question's fist pumped the air. After calming himself down, Adam turned to address the band, making several arm motions as he began his speech.
You know that the Colosseum concert was just the beginning. I say we get out of this underground and let hell know who we are. Because soon, we will be the ones ruling this dump.
Adam's golden eyes gleamed ominously in the darkness as he made his announcement. Gigi was the first to react, exclaiming in agreement and approval of the plan. Laby's grin grew wider, while Johnny gave a curt grin, excited at the prospect of teaching these wretched souls real music, and possibly beating his fiddling rival a third time. As Adam stretched his Strigidae wings and took flight in the bunker, he charged his now infernal guitar with demonic lightning, letting it pulsate. He swiped his arm, giving his guitar a strum, laughing in amusement as a bolt of energy shot across the room, writhing like a serpent. He landed on the table with the grace of a bird of prey striking at its victim, letting his wings drag behind him like an oversized coat. His eyes crackled with energy as he grinned ear to ear. The first man was back in business, and the overlords wouldn't know what hit them.